My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Kay Ross.
And you're listening to Best Quality Vacuum, the duck feed show about Breaking Bad, El Camino, and Better Call Saul.
And this week, we're talking about Felina, which was written and directed by Vince Gilligan, and it originally aired on September the 29th of 2013. It's a dream where everybody gets exactly what they wanted, Gary.
Yeah, it's they let him off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe they did it. They should have actually just done an entire season of him being tortured.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been the only thing that would have been okay.
You know, the thing that I don't like about Breaking Bad is it never addresses consequences.
Yeah, it's not really about that. He just gets away with so much.
He can't keep doing it.
Yeah, he can't keep doing it. It's, him doing one thing before he died basically invalidates the fact that he died and lost his family.
Uh-huh.
I'm very smart. We're at the end.
Yeah.
The end of the finale of Breaking Bad. Not the end of the show, like the halfway point of the show, basically.
Yeah.
But the end of Breaking Bad.
Yep. Wild to think. It feels like just yesterday we were wrapping up the Venture Brothers show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Venture Brothers. Hey, I'm going to throw in a little bit of a Venture Brothers thing here.
Okay.
I found out something new about the Venture Brothers.
Okay.
You know the little bit after all that in Gargantua 2, where they have the funeral for Jonas Venture Jr.,
mm-hmm.
And they play the crash test dummies?
Yes.
They play
mm-mm-mm-mm.
I was reading online, that is a joke that we missed. He probably said, play the crash test dummies at my funeral. There is a very maudlin song by the crash test dummies called At My Funeral.
Oh, but
the captain misunderstood it and played mm-mm-mm.
The hit single from the band, the crash test dummies. That's a walk.
It's a walk, but it's a good joke.
It's a very good joke.
I know one of the Crash Test Dummies albums.
Yeah.
I know, not Throwing Copper, that's Live. God Shuffled His Feet.
Uh-huh.
I just forgot about that.
That's one of those 90s bands, like the Toadies, that is actually pretty good.
They're not bad.
Yeah.
You had to get over his voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, Venture Brothers. We're into Breaking Bad.
Now we're into Breaking Bad. Boy, I remember where I was when I saw this finale.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, a huge event.
Yeah.
TV history.
Mm-hmm.
Walt has learned that Blue Meth is back on the streets. He leaves his exile in New Hampshire to return to New Mexico to tie up loose ends with extreme prejudice.
Mm-hmm. And it is hard to think of a finale that is more comprehensive than this one. It is very satisfying. Some would argue too satisfying. But this ties up a lot of loose ends. And it is loaded with catharsis, both emotional and, you know, retributive, let's say.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of vengeance on display, mm-hmm. righteous and otherwise.
Yeah.
We alluded to this earlier. The counter argument is that Walt gets too much of what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
The only proper ending for a character that evil is for him to die of cancer alone in a cabin.
Mm-hmm.
Like they show on TV.
Yeah.
Would have made a good dramatic television show.
Yeah.
Just like a season of him slowly wasting away.
Yeah, just moaning for help in a cabin 8 miles away from where anybody can hear it.
In real time. Yeah, they just keep coming. Every episode, that we just come back to it. One of them, he just sleeps. but there's a little thing on the Chiron on the bottom that tells me how much pain he's in.
Yeah, it shows us his blood counts.
Yes, yeah. We just get his platelets. His little platelets counter. We get Platy, the animated platelet, who comes in and slits his own throat. Not to be too harsh on that, but it's really just an attitude that came from one essay that I don't like.
Yeah. It pops up in any discussion of this.
Yeah.
To the point where, like, you know, that essay, kind of the annoying part of that is, like, people saying, oh, this is Walt's dying dream.
This is too good for Walt.
Yes.
That this couldn't happen. This is, like, literally a fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
He's dying. He's freezing to death in one of the opening scenes. And this is his fantasy of everything.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that. Vince Gilligan doesn't like it.
No.
So I think I'm right.
I don't like it when shows like do that and tell you that's what they're doing. I cannot see trying to take something and make that the case about a piece of media.
Yeah, why pretend like it's worse?
Yeah.
You know, why pretend like it's all a dream? That mm-hmm. sucks.
Yeah.
I have fairly strong feelings about people's reaction to this. Yeah. It's pretty irritating to
also,
me.
Also, there being a dream within the dream showing Jesse's woodworking.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very nice of him in his fantasy to give Jesse that little dream.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's all just so fucking stupid. You're not failing media if you take something as face value.
Yeah.
Like you're not super smart if you don't mm-hmm. take it at face value, and you're not failing yourself if you do take it at face value. Sometimes things are the things that happened.
Mm-hmm.
So the title of this is a reference to the Marty Robinson song, El Paso. Mm-hmm. Great song. But that in that they talk about town, they spell it F-E-L-E-E-N-A. They change it to Felina with an I, so it's an anagram of finale.
Yeah. Continuing that to the end. It is fine. I almost wish they would have called it Baby Blue. You know?
Yeah. Baby Blue would also have been a good,
yeah.
good name. You've seen the theory that it's blood, tears and meth.
Yeah.
Like
iron. Yeah, I've seen
salt
that.
And like lithium.
You have to know about like an extremely obscure, like alternate way to cook meth using lithium.
That they don't use in the show.
Yeah.
In the number one show for teaching you about ways to cook meth.
Yeah.
You know, for that to work. I also think that's somebody being a little too clever. I don't think mm-hmm. that's true.
Yeah. It's fine to say like, oh, this kind of works that way. But to say like, oh, this is what this means. It is not trivia. It is something somebody said.
Yeah. It's a thing that you want, you know, you put together, you solve the puzzle for a mm-hmm. second.
Yeah.
There are some little trivia bits during individual scenes, but most of it's just production stuff.
Yeah.
Like boring bits about disagreements of music, mm-hmm. how many takes it took to have Walt wiping his blood
yeah.
down the side of the tank, stuff like that.
Yeah. And, you know, affecting stuff like, you know, the cameraman crying during the final scene with Skyler, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that shot that they got, which yes. was an accident, is really good.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get into all that right now.
Yeah, with an extremely cold open, Walt has left the cabin, and he has found a car covered with snow, presumably checked a whole bunch of them, you know, found one that was unlocked and has gotten in and is searching for a way to start it. There's a Marty Robbins cassette in the glove box, mm-hmm. and he finds a screwdriver, but it doesn't work.
Yeah, he can't jump the car with mm-hmm. that. And he sees police lights coming through the snow. So he kind of ducks down,
mm-hmm.
you know, to pretend like nothing here but us abandoned cars. And he even kind of whispers a little prayer.
Yeah.
He says, you know, just get me home. I'll do the rest.
Yes.
And in, you know, probably the only note of this I don't like is that he does the little prayer and then the keys fall out of the visor,
mm-hmm.
you know, almost like it's directly answered.
Yeah.
You know, the cop's not catching him, I'm fine with. But then he checks the visor and the keys for the car are just there.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, God is guiding him. That's a little bit silly.
Mm-hmm.
But he starts up the car, El Paso starts playing, and we cut to credits.
Yes. And Walt has made it to New Mexico. He pulls up to this gas station, you know, checks the trunk while he's filling up the gas. And it's full of cash. You know, he's got a bag with his medicine in it. And he takes his pills with some water from the nearby pump.
Yep. He uses the payphone because he wants to get back at Gretchen and Elliot.
Mm-hmm.
He pretends to be David Lynn from the New York Times, basically saying that they are scheduled, asking when they're scheduled to get back home from New York.
Yeah.
It's like, I still have their old address, you know, and he kind of proves his bona fides by giving the old one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, are they still on blah, blah, blah? Yeah. And like, it's just like, oh, we need to send a photographer. Oh, I assume that we're going to do the interview over phone. Right. But also, we need to get a photo. So like, I just need the address for the photographer saying, oh, this should make for one hell of a story.
Yeah. He leaves his watch, the watch that Jesse gave him, on top mm-hmm. of the payphone. This is one of those things that is like kind of a character moment, but it's also just for continuity
because
mm-hmm. He didn't have it in the flash forwards
right.
from the beginning of the season.
Yeah. But this leads into something. He's not trying to not be noticed, right?
Yes.
Like he's leaving a trail primarily to like raise enough of a ruckus or chaos so he can do what he needs to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a scene cut from this
mm-hmm.
Where Walt would have seen a kid that was a student who would have remembered him, and Walt would have paid him off
mm-hmm.
to not tell him anything. And then Walt would have asked if he was a good teacher.
Yeah.
And the student would have said, yeah, you were good. Like, I remember when you made fire different colors.
Yes. Referencing the first episode. When most of the episodes had a little classroom scene that underlined the theme.
Yeah, chiral. So we cut over to Elliot and Gretchen. They get home at night. They're arguing about restaurants. It sucks.
It's very tedious. Their house is ridiculous.
It looks like it'd be a really fun Hitman level.
Oh, it looks like a Hitman level that is a museum almost.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a cross between a museum and the tutorial level for Hitman 2.
Yeah.
Like that beach house, that fancy beach house with the glass walls.
Mm-hmm.
Walt follows them in and he's looking around, looking at art and photos, and they don't notice him.
No.
They're talking about going to Europe because that's what rich people do.
Yes.
And then Gretchen notices him.
Yeah. You know, and he's just like looking at photos, right? It's like, nice. You know, compliments the house and points to this big wall of windows. You know, like, oh, this space is east. You must have a, you know, really good view of these, you know, particular mountains, you know, Blood of the Saints or something like that.
Yeah. And they immediately start trying to talk him out of hurting them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's like, you know, don't hurt us, Walt. And he's like, I'm not here to hurt you.
Yeah.
I need your help with something. I'm here to give you something. Help me with something in my car. Elliot has a little cheese knife at Walt. And Walt looks at, you know, Elliot, if we're going to go that way, you're going to need a bigger knife. That's not going to work.
Channeling both Mike and Crocodile Dundee.
a match made in heaven.
Yeah. If we're going to go that way.
Yeah. Very, very funny for him to pick up a little bit of Mike energy here. Elliot and Gretchen help him unload his pile of cash. He has $9,720,000 left. And he gives them their instructions. You're to give this money to my son, Junior, on his 18th birthday as an irrevocable trust.
Yes.
You know. And it's interesting, Elliot at this point, there's a nice little bit of characterization here.
Mm-hmm.
Elliot is willing to go along with this.
Yes.
You know, he wants to go along to get along. Gretchen feels more betrayed and is more angry.
Yeah, right.
Gretchen was closer to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is implied, we never actually get the full story about what happened with Grey Matter, but the idea that there was something romantic between Walt and Gretchen.
Mm-hmm.
Gretchen is feeling a little bit of that. You know, not only did he make her complicit in his lie about covering their medical bills, she loved him, presumably. You know, she had feelings for him.
Yeah.
So seeing this whole thing is hitting her harder.
Yes.
And she's angrier than Elliot is.
You know, in addition to, like, he's really fucked up their life. Not, like, enough where, really like, the, you know, yeah. like, they're still living in luxury or whatever. You know, has added a complication. They had to go on fucking Charlie Rose, you know?
Yeah, to disclaim him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and Gretchen says, you know, like, oh, you know, give him your drug money yourself. Like, you made me complicit in the lie. Now we're going to launder money for you. You know, it's ridiculous. You know, it's like, oh, I can't, you know, not only would the government not let me, if my wife and son knew where it came from, they wouldn't take it. They hate me. Right.
Yeah. You know, and basically makes his argument, you know, the children are blameless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're blameless victims of their monstrous father, a man you once knew very well. Make up a story.
Yeah.
To give them this money.
Mm-hmm.
If there are any fees, if there's anything like that, it comes out of this money. You cannot spend any of your own money.
Yeah.
And Elliot agrees immediately, shakes his hand, and he has to kind of nudge Gretchen to do it.
Yeah.
But this is, you know, Walt covered this as going not enough. Walt says, you know, can I trust you?
Mm-hmm.
And Elliot goes, yeah, of course. But then he signals out the window and two laser sights appear on them.
Just kind of wobbling on their chest. Oh no, there are assassins. Not just assassins, the two best hitmen west of the Mississippi.
I wish he had said Mississippi.
Yep.
You can tell somebody's serious when they shorten it to Mississippi.
Oh yeah, they know what they're talking about. They nailed the lingo. I love him like being the version of himself that he imagines people
he thinks they
hold.
Would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, whatever happens to me tomorrow, if they don't, you know, they're going to follow through. If they don't get this money, a kind of countdown will begin, you know, and wherever you are, bam, suddenly you'll hear the scrape of a footstep behind you. And before you can even turn around, you'll be dead. You know, just like,
boom,
very funny.
Darkness, you know, and like in Gretchen and Elliot, just like startling at the boom.
Yes, really, really fun. You know, and he leaves, you know, cheer up, beautiful people. This is where you get to make it right. You know, basically, you fucked me out of this company for this thing. This is your penance for that.
Yes.
He leaves. Gretchen collapses on the couch in tears. Very intense for them. And then we actually get to see the assassins. He goes out to the car and it's Badger and Skinny Pete. I love that we get a goodbye for these guys. You know, it's kind of counterintuitive that they would be in this episode at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's just very nice to see them.
Yeah.
Like,
It's great to see them. We get a very sweet goodbye to them in El Camino.
Yeah, it's great.
I love it.
Yeah.
But like, I was beside myself laughing Very funny. Like when it revealed who it is, because of fucking course, like, you know, like Walt doesn't know anybody.
Like he doesn't have Saul anymore. It would be Huel and Hubie or Kubi, but it can't be.
Yeah.
You know, so he just got this number on his phone.
You know, Kubi fled back east and Huel's still in the house. He's making Huel's rules.
Huel's making Huel's rules.
Yeah.
He asked for the laser pointers back, which I think is funny.
Yeah.
You know, those things cost upwards of $1.99. And they feel conflicted about it. You know, Badger talks to us, man, this whole thing, you know, this feels kind of shady morality-wise. And he just throws them stacks of cash. And like, well, that makes it feel better.
Uh-huh.
Very funny, a little joke.
Yeah.
And he starts getting a little intelligence. He says, you know, is the blue meth still on the streets?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah, yeah. And he's like, who's cooking it?
Mm-hmm.
And they thought it was him.
Yeah.
You know,
because it's up to the quality. Yeah.
Yeah, it's your formula.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought you were back in town doing this. Walt figures out it must be Jesse.
Yes.
Like, no, man, Jesse said he moved to Alaska.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's starting this vengeance plan, you know, this idea that Jack did not kill him.
Jack did not kill him and is, you know, has made Jesse a partner, you know, this blast betrayal, you know, Jesse working with the people who not only killed Hank, but took his money and thus, you know, the legacy that he was going to leave his kids, the ostensible reason why he did all of this.
Yeah. We get two little scenes that are just to remind us where we are here. We get Jesse having a dream sequence of being in shop class, but he's actually in the meth slavery harness.
Yeah.
He's really scarred. He's been tortured for this. And then we get Walt at the Denny's making the 52 out of his bacon.
Yes.
We've seen this before in the cold open. We have him checking the machine gun, retrieving the ricin. We have all these things just reminding us where things are.
Yeah. Getting these important pieces back in place.
Yeah. And we get a little flashback to him remembering Hank offering the ride along.
Yeah.
You know, on his 50th birthday, 2 years ago to the date.
Mm-hmm. He's standing in the ruined living room and, you know, flashing back to the living room full of all these friends that we never saw again.
Yeah. One of Clapton's.
Mm-hmm.
Lydia shows up at her cafe meeting space, pulls out a packet of stevia from the sugar holder. There's just one there. And Todd shows up, compliments her shirt, and Walt comes up. And they're very surprised to see Walt.
He just, the way that he just like almost like night crawlers in.
Yeah. I love how scraggly he is too.
Oh yeah. No, like he's definitely playing up this role. Right.
Yeah. It's very funny here. It's canny. Lydia almost immediately leaves. Walt begs her to stay. He says, listen, you know, I've done the calculations. He's basically playing a version of himself in every scene. Here we have to talk to people.
Yeah.
Him doing that to Gretchen Elliott, he's also doing it to Lydia. I've done the calculations. I know you're running out of methylamine.
Yeah.
You know, I saw a post somebody was talking about. We talk about Walt's quality as a liar on this show. And someone pointed out that he is a horrible liar if he's on the spot, but a really good one if he has time to plan.
Yeah. He had a whole cross-country drive to put this together.
And like, I would have just listened to Marty Robbins. I like Marty Robbins.
Yeah.
But he's a better man than I am in every way.
Yeah. Every way?
Yeah. Morally. So he says, you know, I've done the calculations. I know you're running out of methylamine.
Mm-hmm.
I've come up with a brand new method.
Yeah.
It doesn't even require methylamine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to sell it to you for $1 million.
Yeah.
Lydia says, how do you know to meet us? And it's like, you meet here the same day every week.
Yeah.
You like your routine.
Tuesday at 10 a.m. Yeah.
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 I'm gonna cook. I'm gonna show you how to do this new cook. I'm totally broke from running from the police. I need this money.
Yes. And Todd doesn't want anything to do with this, right?
Yep.
And Lydia kind of plays her part too, immediately like latching on the money. You know, like how much money? You know, what's this gonna cost?
Yes.
You know, seeing, you know, pretending to see the benefit in this. You know, $1 million is a real deal. You know, and says like, let me talk to Jack. Let me convince him that this is the right move.
Yeah. Todd knows this is a bad idea, but he's gormless.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't have subterfuge in him. Lydia is doing this to kill Walt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lydia agrees, Walt tells Walt to leave. Todd says, are we really going to do this? And Lydia goes, of course not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tell me I don't have to walk you through this. She's so mean to Todd.
Yeah.
You know, did you look at him? We'd be doing him a favor. He's going to die anyway. And we need to take out this loose end. So win-win. And she mixes her poison stevia with the tea. They do a real obvious close-up on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would have kind of liked it if I could have been like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Did you do that?
it's the ricin. It was, you know, very conspicuous in there. It is a little coincidence-y that he guessed the right table.
I was thinking about that too.
Yeah.
The fact that there's just one stevia there, mm-hmm. that's easy to pull off, but he did get the right table. I assume that she sits at the same table every week.
You know, I need to go back and look at a previous episode because it doesn't look like the same table. It looks like it's actually one over, but.
It is. Yeah. I don't think it's the same table either, but I think that, the idea is when he says like you meet here at the same time every week, mm-hmm. maybe he's like scoped out for a time,
mm-hmm.
you know, or something like that. I don't know.
Maybe as the season changed, they move one table back to get out of the light. So they didn't get a glare from the street.
Exactly. Your kids are calling it sundialing.
Oh, and now we get a very touching scene. Like this
is, this is great.
This is, you know,
one with his machine gun. It's very sweet.
No. Okay. No, yeah. Sorry about that. I jumped one scene ahead in my mind. Walt is out, like singing to himself, singing, you know, El Paso, to himself, mm-hmm. while he is assembling this machine gun. So we saw the M60, and you know he's got like these new parts, basically like an erector set with a like a car unlocker, like a you know aftermarket car lock, remote lock thing. You know, we can see that it, you know, when he activates it, it is like doing a swivel on this.
Yeah, it's a moving arm. We don't know exactly what's going to happen, but he's building a robot.
Yeah.
You know, and as this happens, his wedding ring necklace drops out of his shirt, makes him pause. We cut over to Skylar, Skylar's new apartment. It's a sheet heap. Mm-hmm. I've lived in so many apartments exactly like this.
Yeah,
this is exactly the apartments I lived with my mom for like most of my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the portraits are up, but Walt's, no portraits of Walt. And the phone is ringing. The way this is shot is really interesting.
Yeah.
The way we see it, there's a pole.
Yeah.
You know, there's a load-bearing kind of pillar in the middle of the living room, mm-hmm. or the kitchen rather. Skylar answers and she's talking to Marie, and mm-hmm. Marie says, hey, you know, Walt's been sighted in town. Your neighbor Carol saw him.
People
are calling in using different voices. They think he's gonna blow up City Hall in revenge.
Uh-huh.
I love that. Like, they don't know if it's Walt or just copycat people, but I love the idea of that being the end of this series. Like, Walt finally gets revenge on City Hall.
Yeah. Walt was taking like a, it like to the a system Batman the villain. Whole time. It talks about like, oh, he's got this manifesto.
he's got a manifesto. Walt's whole thing was finally getting revenge on Albuquerque, the actual main character of the show.
But it's two or three different voices who are calling in very plausibly, you know, Badger and Skinny Pete, right?
Yes. You know, again, trying to stretch the police thin
for
this. Marie says the DEA is watching her place. You know, they're watching the high school, and they're probably or watching Marie's place and probably watching Skylar's place as well.
Yes. You know? Their relationship seems better. Like this, you know, they pick up and it is not like the first time they've talked in a while.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Skylar hangs up. The camera moves to show that Walt was staying there the whole time.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Mm-hmm. Gasped when that happens back in the day. And Skylar says, okay, you have 5 minutes. You know, she puts a clock on this, you know, and says like you look terrible. And she's like, oh, did you kill or hurt anybody coming here? You know, didn't have to.
Yeah. She says, why are you here? And he says, you know, it's over. I needed a proper goodbye though. I didn't need, you know, what we did on the phone.
Yeah.
You know, that was to throw people off, but that's not correct.
Mm-hmm.
She thinks he's going to the police.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, they'll be coming to me. Mm-hmm. She mentions the Nazis.
Yeah.
You know, the people who visited her.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, that won't be a problem after tonight.
Yeah. If you get taken into custody, you know, are these guys going to come after me? You know, there are three men. They threatened Holly.
Yeah. He's like, no, they're not going to be a problem. After tonight, she says, what's the night? And he doesn't answer.
Yeah.
He pulls out his wallet and Skylar groans at his shit.
Yep. Like,
things that he's just going to try to give her $50. Please, it's all I have. So he doesn't want it, money. And he's like, no, this isn't, I don't have the money. I spent the last of it getting out of here.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a lie, but he also gave the money to Gresham and Elliot. Like, he is basically broke
mm-hmm.
at this point. Yeah. He only has a robot machine gun.
Yeah. But what he's pulling out of his wallet is the lottery ticket on which he encoded the GPS coordinates for the burial site. And, you know, he tells her, like, hey, call the DEA. tell them I forced my way in, tell them I wanted bacon and eggs on my birthday, and then I gave you that ticket. Again, just coming up with like just this fictional version, you know, understanding that Walter White, Heisenberg, is this mythical monster.
He's a character who, you know, does these villainous things based on the trail he's created. That's the version of him that was on the phone call.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would do that. Say I gave you that ticket, you know, it's the burial site. Skyler breaks down. He says, listen, you know, the Nazis killed Hank and Gomez. You need to trade that to the prosecutors for a deal.
Yeah.
You know, that's a bargaining chip.
Like, you know, like, and what's there? Like, she knows, like, you can tell that she knows about it, or, you know, like, or has a feeling. And when he confirms it, just the way that the tears overflow, it is very emotional. You know,
it's real good.
He's offering closure for the family a little bit. Yeah.
I also love the way this is echoed in Better Call Saul.
Yes.
With Howard Hamlin.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's a big spoiler, but the way that, you know, they're always trying to give us Hamlin.
Yep.
You know, the way this gets subverted at the end of Better Call Saul.
Mm-hmm.
He starts talking, you know, he says, Skyler, all the things I did, you need to understand. And she cuts him off. You know, if I have to hear one more time that you did it for the family, and he goes, I did it for me. You know, I liked it. I was good at it, you know, and I really was alive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is true that he did it for his family as well.
Yeah.
Here. But taking responsibility, this is the first time he does it verbally.
Mm-hmm. And doing it directly to her face, you know.
Yes.
Speaking honestly, you know, I can see in the performance the months of reflecting that he did, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, to admit. And, like, you can tell it feels good for him to say it, right?
Yeah.
You know, and she doesn't really react to that. She just shakes and looks at the ticket.
Yeah, it's not enough or anything. But, you know, there's a way in which sometimes being honest or confessing something is just for the confessor.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, I think about that when I think about, you know, how when you stay up at night and you think of all the dorky and shitty things and awkward things you did.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, all the mistakes you made and all the ways you accidentally hurt people.
I call it the grim inventory.
when you do the grim inventory, do the propane maniacs. One of the things I think about is like, I'll get in my head and I'll be like, yeah, I was pretty shitty to that person. Should I like reach out and apologize? Mm-hmm. And then I realize like, oh, they've moved on. That would just be for me.
Oh, I've done that. I've reached out to somebody and was like, hey, I want to, And they're like, I don't even remember that.
Yeah.
Like,
don't do it.
Yeah.
don't like, do it. Like it's a mistake to go out and do that. It's just for you.
Uh-huh.
You know, it doesn't serve anybody else.
Yeah.
You know, Skyler says, hey, Flynn will be home soon. And he says, you know, before I go, can I see her? And this is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
He goes and says, takes his last look at his baby.
Mm-hmm. You know,
Skyler looks on. She's very sad about this.
Yes. You know, he's just caressing her hair. She's, you know, Polly is sleeping in the crib, you know, just waiting in the wings for the Holly Chronicles.
Yes. The sequel to Huell's Rules.
Uh-huh.
We put them together. Flynn's school bus shows up and there are two DEA agents.
There's a moment here. I think it's important that Walt leaves without a word and does not hug Skyler.
Oh, right? Yeah. He knows it's not welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Flynn pulls up. The DEA agents are watching. Walt just kind of sneaks out.
Mm-hmm.
Through this, I love how everyone can sneak past everything now. Once Mike died, the rules of Mike died as well.
Uh-huh.
And you no longer have to be careful. Everyone can do everything. Everyone is an expert crim.
Yep. Walt's just like it, like at the communal laundry building, like looking through the window, you know, to see Flynn just walking into the door.
Yeah. The DEA only covered the front door.
Yeah.
Once Hank died, they forgot about police work.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the division really went to shit after Asex Reed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's now being run by Asac Dungo. And Asac Dungo is a real fucking idiot.
Oh, it's a real mess. Yeah. He's way out of his depth here. But this is sad, you know, seeing his son, you know, not even just like not getting an opportunity, but like it's out of the question. If he was there, like Junior's like Flynn is a good kid, right?
Yeah, he'd blow up the spot.
Yeah.
You know? Ordinarily, I know you know, we both make little jokes in our headings on this. This is a good one.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a shout out. This is a funny heading for this next section of the notes.
Yes. A realistic down-to-earth show that's completely off the wall and swarming with magical robots.
Yes. That is a very funny heading for this.
Yeah. We're to the final showdown. We need to address the Nazi problem.
Yeah. Kenny opens the gate. lets Walt in, compliments Walt on the car. You know, is it this kind of engine?
Yeah. Is this the 450 or the 510 or whatever? Oh, the 510, yeah. That's what you want.
and Kenny says, you know, just pull up to the house. Just pull straight in. Pull straight in. And Walt ignores him and pulls sideways. Mm-hmm. He's acting like a bumbler. Yes. He's like, oh, I'm so sick, I'm not paying attention. Mm-hmm. He needs to park parallel to the house.
Yes.
For this to work.
You know, and there's nothing inherently suspicious about, you know, parking in an unintuitive way, right?
Yes. Yeah. He gets frisked, and they take his wallet and keys. The keys we know are load-bearing.
Yeah.
Kenny has him lift his shirt to see if he's wearing a wire. Mm-hmm. This is all very tedious.
Yeah. And Walt's like, really? Really, you want me to? Just putting up the token resistance, right? Yeah.
Uncle Jack comes out, you know, compliments his hair because his hair is now grown back.
That's a wig. Oh, come on. You know, otherwise you look like shit. Good head of hair you got there.
You know, he says, listen, I've got a new way of making cooking meth. And he goes, no, you know, not interested. He's like, I know you're running out. He's like, we'll just get more.
Mm-hmm.
Lydia's around.
Yeah.
You know, and Walt, again, playing the part, Todd explained to him. Mm-hmm. And Todd, you know, is even on it at this point.
Yeah.
You know, and Todd's like, you really shouldn't have come back. This was a mistake. Mm-hmm. You know, it was in no uncertain terms. You were told, you know, do not come back or you will die. Mm-hmm. And you've made yourself a loose end.
Yeah. The timid little sorry that he offers at the end of that, like he does still respect Walter. It's just, you know, this is bad news.
It was him being allowed to live in the first place was contingent on him disappearing.
Yes. Yeah.
Kenny pulls a gun on him. I love Jack being like, don't do it in my fucking living room.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, shoot. I want his brains all over my living room. Take him outside, you fucking idiot.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And at this point, and this was confirmed, like this is a Vince Gilligan thing, you know, this is Walt being true.
Yes.
Him wanting to get Pinkman out here because he wanted him to get killed as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this comes from real anger. He struggles and says, you owe me. Mm-hmm. And Jack takes exception to this.
Yeah. You lied to me.
Yeah, you were supposed to kill Pinkman, but you partner with him. And Jack, for all of his flaws, you know, if he shakes on something, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being called a liar is worse than being called a Nazi to him.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like you cannot call him a liar.
Yeah. Like, you know, I'm not a liar. I wouldn't partner with a rat. You know, you have insulted me very greatly at this. Right. Yep.
Go get him, Todd. And like, Todd's like, whoa, he's like, no, just go get him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to show you exactly how wrong you are. And then I'm going to put the bullet in your head.
Yeah. It overrides his reason. Like you need to get rid of Walt as soon as possible. It doesn't care. Like it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Todd leads Jesse into the clubhouse. He's in his ankle chains and he just looks fucking horrible.
Oh my God.
Here. Like Meth Slave Jesse is one of the, you know, bullets to my heart in this series. Like I really have a hard time with that visually. It's, you know, affecting.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where Walt changes his mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's like, he wasn't a partner. He went to Hank, you know, he's partly responsible for my downfall. But he's been being tortured by Nazis that I put him in league with.
Yes. You know, and I gave him up. I thought that he was going to die. Instead, he's been, you know, living a similar, you know, maybe worse hell, you know, but it's like very clear. This, what I thought was the case is not the case.
One of the things that happens in this show and in Better Call Saul is that our principal crapulence get put in jail before they're put in jail, basically.
Yeah.
Like between Walt in the cabin, Jesse in the meth slave thing, Saul in Monochromaha, and Kim in Florida, you know, with the Duke's Mayo guy, the Miracle Whip guy. Like those are all kinds of prisons. They're all punished before they're actually punished.
Yes.
No one gets away with anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he says, oh yeah, here's a partner. Look at that. That look like a partner to you. Mm-hmm. That's a good partner. You know, kind of says it over. And Walt looks at him and it's like, Jesse is just shaking and seething here. You know, he can't handle it.
Yeah. Here's the person who got you caught. Yeah.
Yep. You know, he's responsible for this. And Walt makes his decision. He'd grabbed the keys from the pool table and he tackles Jesse to the ground before hitting the button on his magical crime robot.
Yeah. What this does, it pops the trunk, and then the M60 that he bought is attached to the moving arm, and it is firing automatically, kind of in a cone formation at the, you know, at the clubhouse, shooting through the walls and the window, and it goes for a very long time.
It's a lot of bullets. Yeah. The Mythbusters tested this and considered it plausible.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I need to see if Mythbusters is streaming because I want to watch those Breaking Bad episodes.
That would be a good idea for like a special.
Yeah.
you know, for the show, if you ever want to do that. Mm-hmm. It basically slaughters everybody.
Yeah. I love that Kenny was just like sitting on this Sharper Image massage chair kind of mm-hmm. thing. And, you know, like when this happened, and then it's just his body being stretched out like in the automatic rocker or whatever.
It's real nice.
Yeah.
Todd managed to not get shot. Mm-hmm. So he gets up to look out the window. Sees Walt's car on fire from the bullets. Jesse gets his revenge on Todd.
Yeah.
Strangles him with the handcuff chains, as is only right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, Todd had to go.
Also, during this, Walt flinches.
Mm-hmm.
He gets hit by a bullet. I find that out for sure later, but we see it in action.
Taking a bullet for Jesse. Yes, it's a bullet that he arranged to be shot, but like if, you know, Jesse was laying there and Walt wasn't, he probably would have ate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesse kills him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Walt grabs a gun. Jesse, you know, unchains himself
mm-hmm.
there. Walt walks over to Jack, and Jack is dying.
Yeah.
Here, and Jack starts bargaining.
Mm-hmm.
You know, holds up a hand. He pulls out a cigarette, and he's like, "You want your money, right? You know, if you shoot me, you're never going to get that money." But mm-hmm. Walt cuts him off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't want the money.
Yeah. Just like Jack, you know, didn't. Just, you know, like Walt was offering the money for Hank's life and Jack just shot him, right?
Yeah. Jesse and Walt square up, and Walt puts the gun on the ground and slides it over to Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesse grabs it and points it at Walt.
Yeah. You know, and it's just, do it. You want this. And, you know, Jesse's like, "Hey, no, I need you to say the words, you know, like, oh yes, I want this, but like, no, say that you want this."
Yep. Walt says he wants it, and then Jesse sees that he's dying and gives the gun back to him.
Mm-hmm.
If you want this, you do it yourself.
Yeah.
There. Todd's phone rings, Lydia, the tattooed lady,
mm-hmm.
Ringtone, and Walt picks up. And this is Lydia in bed having the flu.
Flu Lydia. Yeah.
Flu Lydia.
Looking just fucking terrible. And she asks, like, "Hey, is it done?" She's checking in to see if Heisenberg was killed.
Yep. And she doesn't recognize Walt's voice, and Walt just doesn't, and says, "It is done. How are you feeling?"
Mm-hmm.
"I'm kind of under the weather, like the flu." "That would be the ricin I gave you." You know, a little bit of a fist pump moment, but also I hate fucking Lydia.
Yeah, yeah.
I fucking hate Lydia.
No, yeah, she needs to go. She had to go.
She needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they had to do something with ricin or the internet would have blown up.
Oh, yeah. No, it would have kicked around for all of Better Call Saul.
I didn't even think about that, but that is true. They were like, "Man, did you take the ricin with the diamonds?"
Yeah.
You know? Fuck. Yeah, I'm so glad their ricin is not a plot point in Better Call Saul.
Uh-huh.
Jesus Christ. Jesse turns to stare at Walt.
Yeah,
and then he gets in the El Camino.
Yeah, they've gone. They've gone outside, and they're like looking at each other, right? You know, and they, you know, the last thing was just like, "Hey, you know, go kill yourself." But they exchange like this nod, right? Like there's almost a like, "Okay, we're leaving on these terms. Walt is going to die, and you know, Jesse gets to go."
His last act was freeing this person who definitely, you know, bears responsibility for this, but it is a disproportional punishment.
Yes,
you know. I love Jesse speeding off, crashing through the gate, mm-hmm. laughing, like laugh crying.
Yep.
You know, pounding on the steering wheel. That's a great scene. Mm-hmm. And I think about that gif a lot.
Yeah.
Walt looks down at his wound, realizes he's going to die, and walks over to the meth lab to kind of have a little meth moment.
Yeah. There. Just like looking at the tanks, you know, picking up a gas mask, kind of reminiscing. There are all kinds of like little, things that are just a little bit too neat in this, like the gauge reading 86 or something.
I don't like that. And him, his blood making a W.
Yeah.
No. That drives me nuts. There's a little thing, his reflection in the tank, kind of making it look like he has a goatee.
Yeah.
There's a little cutesy shit
that
happens in this. It's easy to ignore because I think that the actual effect of it, largely because of the soundtrack.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Badfinger song Baby Blue starts coming through. And it's, you know, you've been on this huge, long journey. I'm not really paying attention to those little writerly details.
No. I never,
I'm just kind of in shock.
I didn't notice those until I saw it. Or
until people noticed it and were like, I figured it out.
Yes, the hidden genius of. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like he is walking there and he's like looking, you know, looking at the lab. He is in his element.
Yeah.
You know, he gets to die as he lived in a meth lab.
Yeah. You know, this is the thing he gave it all up for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not triumphant.
No, no.
It's good that he gets revenge on Nazis and Lydia.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's good that he frees Jesse, but it's not triumphant. He's dying painfully. He's bleeding out through the stomach.
Yeah.
Through his own hand.
Yeah.
You know. And he managed to get some money to his you know, family, who, again, are innocent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they did not deserve this.
Yeah.
Yeah, Skylar's not, but to Junior,
yeah,
who is innocent, mm-hmm. You know. This song had a 9,000% increase.
Fucking wild.
In streaming.
Imagine. Yeah. I don't know how many members of Badfinger are alive. Badfinger, that's a good band.
It's very funny to think, just like, fuck, holy shit.
Yeah. Guys. Wait a minute.
You know, the Badfinger group text is blown up.
9,000% on Spotify. We're going to make 18 cents a piece off of this, yeah, baby.
We're going to make a couple bucks each. I'm taking new Badfinger members out to coffee.
Yeah, we're going to supersize our meals tonight, but lads, or whatever they say in Wales.
Let's go. Bad finger away.
Uh-huh. This was a song that kind of like Crystal Blue Persuasion was like, oh, they're going to have to use that somewhere, right? Because everybody just started taking inventory of all of the songs that had blue in the title, you know?
Yeah. They should have used Eiffel 65.
Oh, they should have, yeah.
For the end of this, yeah.
My joke was 16 blue, but we had to discard that because of the creepy reasons.
Yeah. we get to see, look down on him as the cops come in.
Mm-hmm.
Sweeping past him, seeing this really confusing scene with the robot and stuff.
Yeah.
We never get the spinoff about the cops figuring out the robot. and that's the end.
Yeah.
Walt's dead. He's definitively dead. They confirm it in El Camino.
Mm-hmm.
Better Call Saul. It doesn't stop fans from thinking maybe he wiggled his way out of that one.
Yeah.
There are like fan theories and stuff that are dumb. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the Dying Dream one.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's the end of Breaking Bad.
Very satisfying. I remember not pacing, but just like wandering my apartment. You know, it's a Sunday night, like, you know, it's like 10:30 or something. And just like, oh, that's it. That's all we're going to get. That's everything.
It was fascinating to, when this ended, you know, when we didn't have the context of what came later, we did not know that there was going to be a El Camino. Or a Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
You know, at this point. Like, that news came out later. I remember being very surprised that there was going to be a Breaking Bad movie mm-hmm. to wrap things up.
Yeah.
And being very skeptical of Better Call Saul.
Oh, yeah.
That we're going to spend any time in that world. So this really did feel like the end, and it's a really satisfying ending.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very complete ending. It's kind of a miracle that these two, you know, postscripts and kind of prequels ended up working at all.
Oh, God, yeah. No, I mean, like, I waited a very long time to watch El Camino because I was kind of pissed that they did it. I was like, it ended so well. Like, why in the world would you, like, jostle this table, right?
Yeah.
Like, everything is so precariously balanced.
Exactly, yeah. It's a strange move,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it worked out.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really nice rejoinder to the, like, does this need to happen?
Mm-hmm.
As a criticism, like, that's something that I'm guilty of. I do that all the time. Like,
this doesn't need a remake.
This doesn't need a sequel. Yeah. But sometimes you can luck out.
Uh-huh.
You know, I want art that insists upon itself. Sometimes the premise cannot insist upon itself, but then the actual work can.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I'd say that is more true of Better Call Saul than El Camino.
Mm-hmm.
Like, El Camino is great. It feels like just more Breaking Bad to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's catharsis for this character who I really like.
Mm-hmm.
But then Better Call Saul and it being this kind of separate thing.
Yeah. Good in extremely different ways. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great fucking series.
Mm-hmm.
Highest grade I've ever given everything. C+. Above average.
I give it one thumb up. You should probably check it out if you have the time.
For fans of the genre, the C+ thing is a Scott Aukerman joke.
Okay, but, yes. No. Thank you for underlining that because I had no way to know.
Yeah, I also did. I try not to take jokes if I can. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Yeah.
On this season. We did a minor programming change.
Yes.
We are going to do the response episode and then El Camino, but then realized that there would be no real logical place for responses about El Camino.
Mm-hmm.
So the next episode is going to be one episode on El Camino.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're doing the season 5 wrap-up plus El Camino.
Yes. So it'll be the season 5 DVD stuff and your responses specifically about season 5 and El Camino.
Yes. There may be special features for El Camino. We don't know.
Yeah, I don't have the DVD.
We're trying to figure this out.
I don't even know if they did. I should get a physical copy of it because who knows? But
yeah, if exists, but who knows? Mm-hmm. You know? So that's going to be the next episode. Thanks for going on this journey with us.
Yeah.
It's probably still too late by the time you hear this.
Yeah.
Do you think?
It's possible.
I mean, go ahead and do it. Mm-hmm. But if you're thinking about doing it, if it's important to you, do it now. Mm-hmm. If you haven't done it already, this happens more for WAF, but it's always funny to me that like somebody will sometimes regret, you know, kind of hard not mm-hmm. writing in about something.
Yeah.
And it's like, you just got to do it. Like, I'm sorry that you're going through that, but it can't help you.
Yeah.
We record these things at a certain time. Mm-hmm. Telling you, this is your last warning.
Yeah.
If you want to write in about this, you got to do it now.
Mm-hmm. We'll try to record that as close as possible to the release.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We appreciate you.
Mm-hmm. We do.
What can they do?
If you want to support us in the run-up to, you know, the Better Call Saul season of this show, go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. There you can kick us a few bucks a month, support us. You know, this is our job. But also get a whole bunch of bonus content in return.
Yes.
You know, whole shows, like Unfilmable, our monthly show about horror movies.
Yeah, good show. You can also leave us ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict. Subscribe, tell your friends, write about us in message boards. Mm-hmm. All those things are very useful. And you can join us in thanking our producer, Gwen, who also did the soundtrack.
Thank you, Gwen.
Yeah. And until next time, boy, you know, do it yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me you want this.
So many, everybody's a maker now.
Yeah. That you know what? That is true.
Yeah.
It's a little annoying.